Welcome back. Welcome back to America's Heroes Group Roundtable with Partners Service Women Who Serve. August 7th was National Purple Heart Day yesterday, and today's topic for Saturday, August 8th, is talking about protest, vigils, marches, and taking a stand. We have two panelists who are very familiar with this issue, and one is Diana Danis. She is a U.S. Army veteran and a national advocate and activist on women veteran issues, lead administrator of social media service Women Who Serve. That is one of our great partners. Also, Katie Chorbach, the U.S. Army veteran. She has a B.S. in Building Construction Management from the University of Florida and founder and organizer of Saints My Sister's Keeper. So it's really an honor to have the both of you on. And, of course, our governor of talk radio is on, Cliff Kelly.
And hi, hi, ladies. How you doing?
Hi, Cliff.
Good. Thanks. Thanks, Dr. Arnold.
Okay. Yes.
yeah, this is going to be great. They've got a lot to tell us.
So. Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah,
okay, why don't you take it away, Diana?
Yeah, ladies.
Okay, sounds good. Katie, glad to have you on. Like to tell you, gentlemen, this young woman just organized, she got 3 weeks, and Katie put together marches in 19 cities around the country and is preparing to do vigils and marches in cities throughout the United States over the next few weeks that are going to kick off near the end of September. And what I'd like to have her tell you a bit about is how she got involved in that and what the efforts are to move forward and how other people can get involved. Glad to have you with us today, Katie.
Thank you, Diana. So the reason that I got involved is Lupe Guillen, when she made the national news and said very passionately she just wanted to know what happened to her sister. I myself am an MST survivor. I'm her sister in arms, a woman, and a soldier. And I wanted to know what happened, because every woman I know and served beside is the hashtag I am Vanessa Guillen. Every woman has a story. And women were integrated in the 40s. And it's been a problem since women were integrated. And here we are in 2020 doing the exact same argument.
So what we're talking about is sexual harassment, sexual assault, and rape in the military. And when you guys decided to crank out and start doing these protests around the country, and you approached it as the same as Dr. Martin Luther King with peaceful, nonviolent resistance. And you did a great job, because in all of the protests and vigils around the country, there was not a single incident, although there were some threats out of Arizona which caused cancellation of doing any events there. How are you working with other organizations to you know, kind of combine efforts?
So most people listening might not know that 15% of the population of veterans in active duty is women. And veterans only make up almost 3% of the U.S. population. So we're 15% of 3%. We're an extremely small populace. It's going to take the other 98%+ of civilians to step up for us. So what we've been doing is we've been partnering with other organizers, BLM organizers across the country, women organizations, women veteran organizations such as Diana's and others. But our big push right now is the civilian populace. LULAC stood up for us. They made MST a national talking point in this country. Like I stated, we were integrated in the 40s. Here it is, 2020, and it took a civilian organization and a soldier dying and a family crying out for everybody to stand up. So our push is bringing in other civilian organizations and civic organizations to this cause, because it is my true belief and all of my sisters in arms' true belief, everybody in the country should be able to take a strong stance against rape and harassment in the military against women and men, because it doesn't just happen to women, it happens to men as well.
And when we're looking at some of the things that you're trying to get accomplished, when you know, a lot of times we talk about protests. What are we trying to get out of this? What is the bottom line effort with continuing protests? What are you trying to get done?
We are trying to change policy. That is our end game, because we as veterans know that policy has to be put in place for people to adhere. Because if there is no adhering, then it becomes a toxic culture. So we have 10 very, very specific asks, and they're on our Facebook page. But I'd like to highlight, too, that I think people don't know that happens, and it's an immediate process to change it. And the first one is linking CODIS, which is the national database where they keep all sex offenders' DNA, and link that to MEPS, the entrance processing station for all military, and cross it so that if they've ever committed an unsolved sexual crime, they're barred from enlistment and sexual predators don't enlist. And then on top of that, to go ahead and cross-match it with everybody within the service currently that has not been cross-matched, because we could very potentially have sexual predators in the military within our ranks committing crimes off post, and nobody would ever know. That's the first one I'd like to highlight. And the second is, most people don't understand that even if you're convicted of a sexual offense on active duty, you are not required to register on the National Registry. So those are two easy fixes that could be fixed tomorrow. They're simple. It doesn't take a very legislative process to fix that specifically.
That's true. And I think that one of the things that had come up in their after-action report, and Cliff, we were talking about this earlier today. We had Katie held an after-action report, and there were 50 people on the Zoom call in the after-action, and with a lot of young women and men that wanted to do additional marches here in the near future. And a big thing that came up was bystander complicity. And what do we do about the people who stand around and see this stuff happening and don't report it, don't say anything, don't stand up, and don't do anything to take action? And there's a belief that things like that and sexual harassment actually being codified into the Article 134 of Title 10 of the UCMJ, so that, you know, this is where they throw all that stuff that happens in the military but is kind of put in the civil code in the private sector, where things like adultery and fraternization go. They could put sexual harassment in there and pass that really quickly. And DOD's been talking about this for a while, of putting that into the judicial realm instead of the non-judicial punishment, like, you know, slapping your wrist and giving you an Article 15 and making you paint a curb or the side of a ship. So, you know, it's like, no, you don't get to paint curbs for that crap anymore. You have to actually get some serious punishment. And we were talking about, well, how do you make some of this stuff happen faster? And the reality is that in 1948, one of our presidents stood up and just said, you know, he walked into his Joint Chiefs, and that was Truman. And by executive order on July 26, 1948, he walked in and said, I'm going to desegregate the military. And they said, oh, okay, so this is going to take a couple of years. And he said, no, I'm going to desegregate the military tomorrow. And they said, you can't do that. And he said, sure I can. And he signed an executive order, and he desegregated the military. And people were shocked. They said, you can't do that. He said, yeah, I'm president. I can do that. And he did it. And it changed society. It didn't just change the military. It changed the entire society.
Now, who was that?
That was Truman. He just went in and said, we're desegregating.
Right, yeah.
And that was it. And people have told us, well, you just can't change the way society functions overnight. And I said, yeah, there was a guy that did that. He did a major change in society and said, were desegregating, and that spilled over into the private sector, and it wasn't quite as fast, but it really, the military has driven social change in this country on numerous occasions. They did it when they put a whole lot of women in the military. In the 60s, when women went in huge numbers into Vietnam as nurses and administrative positions, and then they changed the WAC and the waves, and they put women in the Coast Guard. In the late 70s, they put a huge number of women in the military and said, we are going to do this giant experiment and see what happens if we put women into all non-combat and non-combat support positions and see what happens. And it worked, and it started changing the parameters in the private sector, too. They said, well, if it works in the military, it'll probably work in the private sector. And that was the beginning of a huge number of women moving out of, at that time, which may shock a lot of people. Back then, they called women's work mostly pink-collar employment. That whole term left the building because we changed the parameters, and it was the military that drove that. We could do this again. This is a societal change waiting for a chance to happen. So, Katie, with what is going on with your rallies, what are you looking for the next big move with our Sisters Keeper? I know you have something coming up on August 12th.
So August 12th, we're engaging people to call their individual representatives in both the House and the Senate and tell them our demands. So we have compiled a list within our group of every single representative around the country and their contact information, because we realize with COVID happening right now, there are a lot of people that want to get involved but are afraid of leaving their house. And so this is a way not only to keep our momentum going, but to notify our legislators of this is what your people want. Your constituency is asking for this in your area for you to care about rape and harassment within the ranks.
Mm-hmm. And isn't there something happening with Ty Ohu? Isn't there a young woman that's in the brig right now?
Yes. So the last week of August, the 24th of August through September 10th, which is Tay U's birthday, we are launching a campaign of Write a Letter to Tay. She is currently being held in the brig. She is also an MST survivor. And we look at it as this is a human rights issue on a lot of levels. She has known mental health issues. They are well documented. And she's being held in solitary confinement right now. And there are plenty of studies out there that show the detrimental effect of solitary confinement on people without mental health issues. And so we are doing a letter writing campaign to her specifically so that she knows that veterans around the country and civilians care and that we're here for her.
And again, MST is military sexual trauma, so she was assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. And so then you've got another event that is coming up. Now, how, if somebody wants to participate in this, if they want to put together a peaceful, nonviolent resistance effort and they want to work with other groups out there like Black Lives Matter, or they want to work with their local veterans groups, and they want to, work with women's organizations, men's organizations, other veterans groups, how do they do it? How do they work with you guys? Who do they contact? What do they do to get involved?
So to get involved, we are actually available on every single platform. We are on Facebook under our Sisters Keeper movement. We're on Twitter under the same name, and we're also on Instagram under the same name, and we have a TikTok as well. And the steps to do this, it's very, very simple because we're veterans. We know the Constitution. I looked up the laws, the Supreme Court cases. It's very specific parameters that you can peacefully assemble. And so your first thing is to get connected with us, find out if we have an organizer already in your city or in your state that you can just link up with. But if not, we will help you find an organizer. And once you find an organizer, or if you yourself are an organizer, what you first do is pick a location within your city, we always suggest publicly owned places because that's what's protected under freedom of assembly, such as a park or a sidewalk. And then contact your city and find out if there's a specific municipal code that deals with protests. Often there's not, unless you plan on blocking a city road, and then that requires a permit. And once you do both of those things, we as a collective, we do all of the flyers and the events on Facebook so that it's dress right dress and uniformity is key, especially within the military world. And then we just contact local organizations within your area, tell them what this is about. Like, can you take an open stance against military sexual trauma? And come to the rally. And at the rally, what's been happening and what's been happening currently across the country is a lot of military sexual trauma survivors are standing up and sharing their stories openly. So we ask that you come to the rally day of with empathetic listening and be ready for some hard truths, because a lot of civilians do not understand the widespread problem and how many generations this has affected. I mean, within our organization and within our organizers, pretty much every generation is represented as an organizer. So just come ready to be empathetic and really listen to the stories and want to change policy to protect active duty members.
Now, I noticed today that people were talking about linking up with Native American groups, because there's been a lot of problems in Native American communities, many of them veterans, both men and women, Hispanic organizations, LULAC, American GI Forum, connecting with those groups in the community, Native American tribes, and reaching out to tribal organizations. Depending on where you are in the country, there are tribal organizations everywhere. Hooking up with Black Lives Matter and the National Organization for Women. I heard a lot of people talking about that. And college campuses. There are a lot of college campuses that are shut down and students are at home. And a lot of them have been dealing with sexual harassment and assault on college campuses. They're more than willing to jump out and get engaged with this issue as well.
Well, this is something that America's Heroes Group would probably like to get involved. You know, we can talk, Doc, don't you think?
Yeah, most definitely. That was really one of the things that, Katie was mentioning, was this issue about, 98% of the population approximately needs to get involved too. Even though they weren't veterans, this is an issue that we should be paying attention to. And it was kind of interesting because when, African-American veterans returned from war, many of them were lynched, many of them were hung or, castrated and all kinds of things, having eyes gouged out on buses. This is something that was actually part of the civil rights movement, too. There was a focus on veterans and how they were treated in World War II and, Korean War and Vietnam. So, I think that is really an essence. The public needs to be involved in this discussion and issue, as Katie was mentioning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And these are, when we talk about sexual harassment, rape, mm-hmm. and assault, and we talk about racism, and we talk about, LGBTQ communities and religious intolerance. Yes. Everything that these have in common is power and control, and they are all social justice issues, and we should be standing up together with one another because we can overcome all of this, but we have to do it together because it takes everybody.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And I really liked your, comment about, highlighting those two specific asks that you had, with the CODIS being cross-linked with the MEPS and then also the National Registry. That I wasn't aware of that, about the National Registry, that you don't go into that database. I mean, it seems like it's really kind of doesn't make sense to me at all because you've gone through a legal system and it should be part of that process.
Yeah, you would think that you would automatically take sex offenders that happen in the military. They're going to get out on a bad discharge anyway. And you'd think they'd be on the sex offender registry, but it's not an automatic thing. And you would think that since we're taking everybody's DNA, you know, I've heard people say, yeah, but, you know, we're, that might be a HIPAA violation. It's like they're going in the military. They're giving up all that stuff anyhow. You know,
right,
we should be able to cross-match it. We're paying for all of it, whether it's FBI or, you know, Department of Defense going in the military. We should be able to make sure they're not a criminal.
Yes.
You know, I mean, what's the problem there? And and if we're going to pay $1 million to train people, we should be able to know that they're not a criminal. I mean, these things
right.
make pretty good sense.
Yeah, and, you know, I was thinking about the situation with state law and federal law. And, you know, the states can be more restrictive but cannot be less restrictive than federal law. And it's the same similar kind of parallel where, you know, if someone is, committing a crime in the military, they are supposed to be held to a higher standard, you know, than the average citizen. You're taking an oath to defend the citizens and the people of the country, and here you are violating the people that you said that you swore you would protect. And so even as a service member, we're still citizens as well. And so to violate that just seems to be unconscionable from a military.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Katie has been, I mean, she has been great with this, and I'm sure she would love to connect with Americans Heroes Group to do some more promotion. They've got, I mean, the number of people that are engaged with this, that are doing flyers and promotional material and setting together agendas, would be more than happy to send materials forward to AHG and make sure that y'all have the information and can
Please
help
do.
Share that out around the country, because we know that there are a huge number of men that we served with that are absolutely disgusted by this behavior.
Oh, absolutely. I know I am. And I want to thank both of you for your service. Both of you have been doing a great job. And, you know, we have about 1 minute to go. I'm going to have you just give your last thoughts, you know, Diana and Katie, just one comment that you wanted to make and maybe, you know, contact number some, you know, to reiterate where people can go to get involved.
Please come to Service Women Who Serve for, you know, lengthy details about legislative issues and the like and what the Sharp, Stark, Sapros do for sexual assault in the military. Katie, go ahead and give the contact information for our sisters' Keeper movement.
You can reach us on Facebook on Our Sisters Keeper Movement, also on Twitter, on Instagram, and on TikTok. And my last word is come get in good trouble with us.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. See something, do something, get involved. But thank you, Diana Dennis, and also Katie Trobach. We love your involvement with this, and thank you for your service.
Thank you so much. Absolutely.
Okay, Glenda Smith is here and ready to go. Rock and roll.
To all our partners today, thank you all so much for partnering with America's Heroes Group. This is why Cliff, Dr. Arna, myself created this platform.
Can you hear her?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me? Cliff, can you hear me?
No, I can't for some reason.
Okay. What about now?
No. Okay. Well, go on. I guess everybody else is, just as long as you able to get everything out. It's a great show.
Let me switch to a new microphone. Can you hear me now?
No, I'm still not hearing you.
Okay.
Now you almost did. Say it again.
Can you hear me?
There you go.
Hey, Governor Talk Radio, my baby. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, sweetheart. How are you?
Blessed. Thank you. Missing you. Great show today.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Yes. And I was just basically thanking all of our partners for partnering with us and explaining this is why we created the platform, to give them a voice, to speak truth to power organically without it being filtered and sanitized based on political gain. It is their voice, their truth, because they've earned it through service. So kudos, America's Heroes Group. Please feel free to call us regarding any issues or concern regarding housing, social services, wellness care at 312-803-2618. We're located at 155 North Wacker Drive, Suite 4250. We're always very grateful because we're global because of Facebook Live. You all have made us a global listening audience. We're resonating in 20 countries and 29 states. All those 9 states of those 29, 9 are red states. So we have made a difference in terms of resources and information. Please feel free to stay in contact with us, like our Facebook page, share, stay connected. Therefore, you will receive resources regarding and information about future shows, veterans, armed forces, our family members, and communities. We're so grateful always to Mrs. Dorothy Lavelle of the Chicago Crusaders and partnering with us. You can read our articles every week, Voices with the Cliff, with the Governor of Talk Radio, the one and only Cliff Kelly and America's Heroes Group. And that number is 773-752-2500. So grateful to Mr. Devin Randall. Great job today. Great job.
Phenomenal.
Today. Technical producer. Great job. Kudos.
Right. Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Keep listening to America's Heroes Group. Have a blessed and safe weekend.